please stand with me out of respect, as we have done 349 times out of respect for God's holy word. Allow me to read in your hearing 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 1, and we're going to read a good portion of it tonight to remind us from whence we started in this series titled Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, repeat. And there are unfortunately many Christians, some because they are young, spiritually speaking, do not understand that the Christian life is not a bed of roses. It is not always fun times, and that at a certain point in your Christian life, you're going to have to choose to rejoice even when you don't feel like it. Many times you're going to have to choose to pray when you don't feel like it. Many times you're going to have to give thanks for things that God has done for you, even though you feel like he has not done anything for you lately. It's called maturity. It's called growing up in God. You're not a little child in the faith anymore. And God wants you to choose to do those things because it honors his name. It gives him glory and praise against the devil, who somehow has in his mind that we're only serving him because of the good things that God gives us. And that is not the case. Some of you need to read the book of Job. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, repeat. Part 15. So many of you are in a desert right now. It's just dry as dust, and you can't stand it. And you think by going to church on Sunday morning, which is an oasis, that's why you need to go, but that's all it is. You better know the Lord when you leave there. You better have a real relationship with him before you go, while you're there, and when you leave there. And during these desert times, my beloved, you need to keep on rejoicing. Keep on praying. Keep on giving thanks. And repeat. When the sun comes up, but not for you, so to speak, keep on rejoicing. Keep on praying. Keep on giving thanks. Repeat. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and for and helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now, in light of all of these verses, here's where we started. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Now watch this. Hold fast that which is good. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for allowing us to read that in context tonight. We praise you and we thank you for your rich and holy word. Have it to find a lodging place in our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits. Lord, you said one time, when you come back, will there be faith on the earth? You predicted that the love of many will wax cold. You predicted that many would become traitors, little Judases. You predicted that people would not even have natural affection. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us not to be shocked at what we see happening, not only in the world, but in the church. Help us to hold fast to that which is good. Lord, help us not to faint. Help us not to get weary. Help us not to quit, as so many people are doing today. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. And Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins. For people are quitting and people are fainting and people are getting discouraged in the faith because of their own sins. As one pastor this past week, the Lord has denounced the faith after he got caught in bed with another man's wife. So Lord, help us not to go for the okey-doke. Lord, help us not to be bamboozled by liars and tricksters. And help us not to be deceived by the devil. Lord, help us to stay on the straight and narrow. Help us to confess our sins and help us to repent Help us to hold on to your holy word and to walk by faith and not by sight, no matter what anybody else does. Help us not to faint. Help us not to get weary in well-doing and to quit and to give up. Help us to keep on rejoicing. Help us to keep on praying, praying without ceasing. And help us to keep on giving thanks. For those of us who are truly born again, we will last. We will last until the end. We will endure and continue on by faith. For we have come this far by faith, and we should not turn around now. Help us to do that. And Lord, in the end of this service today, we pray that lost souls would be saved, Christians would be revived and encouraged, your holy name glorified, and Jesus Christ exalted. Where we're weak and torn down, as the old saints used to say, build us up, demonstrate the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we are in a series of messages from the Word of God titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and every verse regarding prayer in the Bible. And oh, how we need to hear about prayer from the Word of God, and how we need to actually pray. For so many Christians are discouraged as they come of age in the faith, sad and defeated. And the reason is, and they have no joy and have no peace, because they don't pray without ceasing. So, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of this series is to encourage you to pray. To pray whether you feel like it or not. To challenge you to pray. To exhort you to pray. When you feel like you are about to quit, to pray. When you feel like you are about to faint, to pray. When somebody is getting on your last nerve, to pray. To pray to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of David, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 349 messages in this series. This is message number 350, meaning we have preached on prayer 350 Wednesday nights in a row through tribulations, troubles, trials, fires, difficulties, and many victories. And we thank God for your being here with us tonight. And it is good to be back on Wednesday night, as we have been going more with an earlier service in recent months. The title of this message is Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, Repeat, and Do Some Other Things as Well. Part 15. Dr. Joseph Excel said, God's Word is the measuring line of all moral truth. If we give up that ultimate appeal, there is no resting place for the mind. This does not mean taking solitary verses, which in the Bible, as elsewhere, may be made to prove anything you like. You must gather the general intention of the mind of God by study and prayer, dealing with the proportions of truth. End of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, as we move on down this passage that I read in your hearing tonight, and as one preacher out of Jacksonville, Florida says, the best part of every sermon is the reading of the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Never forget that. I know that so many people are looking for something exciting, something new, like the people of Athens, but there's nothing new under the sun. From this passage, ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at several commands for believers in light of our theme and purpose on prayer. We have considered the importance of not quenching the Holy Spirit and the command to despise not prophesying. Today we look at a verse which reads, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And we need that today, probably more than ever. And this command is uniquely tied to the previous verses as admonishment to despise not prophesying. Paul wants his readers to know that all prophesyings are not equal. Someone simply claiming to prophesy does not mean you should listen to them. And I've already dealt with that. Regarding this passage, the late Dr. Warren Wiersbe, who just died and went to heaven. Unfortunately, you didn't hear about him on CNN or NBC or MSNBC or Fox News. That's how the world will do you. But he was a great man of God and greatly used of God, and still is being used tonight. Yet being dead, he speaketh. But Dr. Wiersbe said, of course, there are dangers in the church's receiving of the prophetic ministry, because Satan, Danae, or the flesh could seek to counterfeit a message from God and thus lead the church astray. And I am afraid tonight that that has happened with so many churches, so many people. If the church restrained the speakers, they might be guilty of quenching the Spirit. If they believed all that was spoken, they might be obeying false spirits, demonic spirits. The answer was to prove all things. Check things out. Don't be so gullible. Are you hearing from a man or a prophet who is a man of prayer himself? Is he married to one and only one wife? Does his children line up after him? We understand that he's not perfect, but is he striving to live for God? Is he honest? Is he transparent? Is he authentic? Is he the real deal? Is he broken? and dead to the world. Prove all things. Don't just take things hook, line, and sinker. Every time I say that, I think about a restaurant that I used to go to when I was in the Air Force at Keesley Air Force Base. There was a restaurant on the beach called Hook, Line, and Sinker. Don't be that way. Prove all things. There must be a discerning of the spirits. I fear that so many young Christians today do not have the ability to discern what is good and what is evil. That's one of my greatest concerns. Not only for the millennials, but for the baby boomers. People are so gullible, ready to believe anything. Deceived and bamboozled, they run amok. And one of the reasons is because you're not praying as you should. One of the main reasons why you don't have discernment is because you don't pray without ceasing. Anybody who has been saved for a while, they know and they will tell you that if you pray without ceasing, God will guide you. God will lead you. God will direct you. One of the sad things is we have many people today who don't want to be directed by God. They don't want discernment. They want to be fooled. They want to be bamboozled. This reminds me of an old song a woman sung, "Lie to me, lie to me." She wanted to be lied to. There are some people like that who are sick in this world. They love lying so much they want people to lie to them. It's a turn on to them. I hope that you're not in that number. The Greek word translated as prove simply means to test, to examine, or scrutinize, to recognize as genuine after examination. Don't be so quick to believe everything. And there are simple-minded people like that today in the church. I know some. You may know some. They won't believe what God says. They won't believe what the pastor says. But some, they won't believe what their family members tell them. But some little fly-by-night joker come along, they just crazy about that false prophet devil. Silly-minded people, simple-minded people. You have those. Too often people in the church accept everything, anything, that sounds like a prophecy without examination. Some joker you don't even know comes up to you, slaps you upside your head and says, next week this time, $5,000 is going to drop on your head from the sky. Oh, and you just sit there with a serious face. I receive it. And raise your hand and you out on your back. You got to be kidding me. And where's the $5,000? Maybe I did something wrong. I didn't receive it right. And there's a whole lot of that mess going on. It's tragic. And God's going to get some people for doing this foolishness. The people who have believed this foolishness, they're already hurting. We accept what someone says because they have a cluster of titles before their name. They're Bishop so-and-so. They're Dr. Doolittle. They have a bunch of letters after their name, DD. which Oliver B. Green used to say stands for dumb dog. Oh my, you know, you think he's something, you know. People, anything you need, you can get directly from God. You don't need anybody to tell you anything. And you need to stop following after every little false prophet. Some of these false prophets got groupies running after them after every meeting. It's disgusting. And we all know it's wrong. And you got thousands of folks still following them. We believe someone's words because of their smooth delivery. They have a golden tongue. They're eloquent. And they can say 1,000 words without making a mistake. They know how to place every word. Their mind is soldered to their tongue, and they know how to say it. And there you go. Oh, he sounds like an angel. They have delivery and cadence and rhythm in their voice. And personal charm. But so does Satan. And nobody can charm you like the devil. And nobody can talk to you like the devil. It's sad to say we got some women in the church, according to Dr. Frederick K.C. Price, not me. He said there's some women in the church that there are some men who can talk their panties right off of them. It's sad. It's madness. And it happens all the time. However, the Bible tells us that we should never accept a teaching at face value. We should prove, test, or examine all things. We need to pray about everything. Here's something the devil can't stand, and here's something that false prophets can't stand. When you tell them, let me pray about it. The best thing you can tell people when they proposition you or tell you you ought to do something, let me pray about it. The devil can't stand that. False prophets, fast-talking false prophets can't stand it. Tell them, let me pray about it. And then go pray about it. I assure you that God will give you the answer. If you don't have peace about it, don't do it. If it causes trouble in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, don't do it. If every time you think about it, you're troubled about it, don't do it. However, if you have peace, go with it. Peace from God. This command was necessary back then, and it is necessary now. Today we have so-called Christian teachers and preachers and false prophets who openly deny such things as Jesus' divinity, his physical resurrection, or the absolute correctness of Holy Scripture, the infallibility of Scripture. And they want us to take them seriously. But the Bible says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. The command to prove all things is important for our prayer life. Because when we pray, we are standing on the foundation of Holy Scripture. Now, I know that this is not exciting. I know that this is not going to make you say hallelujah. But this is what we need. I looked in our bathroom cabinet today and saw off in the corner some castor oil. Now back in the day when I was growing up, If you got sick with anything, the first thing you got was some castor oil. That was the only thing you got in the black community down in the hood. It was the cure-all. It was the only medicine we could afford. There was one other little bottle of stuff I used to hate, too. It had a fish, a man with a fish on it. I can't remember the name of it. If you really got sick, you got both of them. We may not want to take castor oil, but castor oil is good for us if we need it, if we're sick. And what we need is good medicine today, no matter how it tastes. We are standing on promises, Dene, that tell us that God will hear and answer our prayers, no matter how dry they may feel. We are hopefully standing on the firm ground of God's will, along with His Word. However, if we are believing the promises of false teachers or depending on unbiblical theology, we are not praying correctly. We're not praying aright. If we are praying for something that some false prophet has told us is God's plan for us, God's will, then we will be frustrated in our prayers because it's not right. When we pray, we must have a true biblical grasp of God's revelation. It must be based upon God's word. Dene, we should hold up each of our requests to the light of Holy Scripture, that we may pray for God's true will to be done in all circumstances. We need to pray aright. We need to pray without ceasing, but we need to pray the right things based upon the Word of God and the will of God, not what some false prophet has told us about our lives. In closing, ladies and gentlemen, Mary Bernstecker said, God has given you His promise that He hears and answers prayer. He will heed your supplication if you cast on Him your care. Just keep praying. Pray without ceasing. He will not withhold one blessing. He will give you what is best. God will answer by His Spirit everyone who makes request. Just keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. He can hear the great petition and the smallest over there unto God. Pray without ceasing. He will answer every prayer. Take to God your plans and failures, anytime and anywhere. No one ever goes unanswered, for He answers every prayer. That ought to encourage your heart to pray. You don't need a false prophet in your life lying to you and still trying, and at the same time trying to get in bed with you. You need to pray to God without ceasing. Pray about everything. Yes, pray about that next date. Is it really what God wants you to do? You know in your soul whether it is or not. Pray about that next job opportunity. Pray about the problems in your family. Pray about that next purchase. God will lead you, guide you, and direct you. Before you do anything, before you take a trip, before you get up in the morning, when you get up in the morning, pray, 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 pray. Stay close to God. Read His Word and pray. Get you an old hymnal app. Sing a song of Zion, the old hymns. Sing the doxology. And pray and read God's Word. Get your mind back on God. Get your mind off of these false prophets, these phonies, these fakes. who all they want is your money or your skirt. Run away from them and run to God. Run to the shepherd of your soul, Jesus Christ. When you don't feel like praying is when you need to pray the most. Pray, pray, pray. Read God's word every day. Only one life to live. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's stand and pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. Because of the privilege of prayer, Lord, we can communicate with you anywhere. We can tell you about the problems. We can pray for solutions. We can pray for impossible situations to be resolved. We can pray that you'd cast out and blast out devils and demons in people's lives who are around us. Lord, the most comfortable time of my day has always been in the morning praying to you. My family knows this. You know it. I don't care how crazy things may be before I pray or after I pray or what we have to deal with, sometimes impossible situations like we had to deal with on last week. In that moment of prayer, that sweet hour of prayer, which we have sung now for 350 Wednesdays in a row, is an amazing thing. So Lord, help everybody under the sound of my voice tonight to begin to pray without ceasing right now, to start praying about their problems, their troubles, their trials, their fears, their tribulations. Lift every burden, whisk it away. Give them an answer, give them a solution. And Lord, something they might be worried about doing tomorrow, you might even tell them not to even do it, much less worry about it. And that's how you've done me down through the years. Some things, Lord, we get all bent out of shape about that you don't even want us to be bothered with. You take care of it. You will take care of it. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, help us to leave this meeting tonight, meeting number 350, praying without ceasing, doing what we have been taught 350 Wednesdays in a row. And that is pray when we don't feel like it. Pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. Based upon the parable that you gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. No matter how we feel, no matter what we think, help us to keep on praying, praying, and praying to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us on this 350th Wednesday night. Wow, 50 more Wednesday nights and there'll be 400. 100 away from 500. Will God give me the joy and the privilege of preaching 500 messages on prayer throughout his Bible, his holy word? I don't know. But I thank him for the privilege. But now, right now, dear friends, if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. Always. There's always a punishment for sin. There's always a penalty for sin. You may think some people might get off, but hell awaits them. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. For you see, the body will die and be buried. The soul will go on to hell if that person has rejected Jesus Christ. I read about a Jewish lawyer. He calls himself an agnostic. He's on his way to hell. I like him. He's a good guy, it seems to me. But he's on his way to hell. He doesn't believe in God. He does not therefore believe in Jesus. I pray that he would repent and trust Christ as Savior. But every person who rejects God, who rejects Jesus Christ, will go to hell. Jesus Christ, a Jew, said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, these are the people who will go to hell along with others, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the so-called agnostics, the atheists, the abominable, the so-called homosexuals, the child molesters, the incest group, the abominable and murderers, people who kill other people, and whoremongers, heterosexuals, having sex with people outside of their marriage vows, and sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake. All liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And dear friend, you do not want to go to the lake of fire. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart and save your soul, and he will save you. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. He took your place, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he will save you. And if you're ready to get saved right now, repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Receive Christ into your heart. Call on his name. And ask him to save your soul, and he will. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing, by lusting after others, lusting after people and things, being envious of what they have, taking your holy name in vain, dishonoring and disobeying my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to turn from my evil ways. Help me to repent and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God found in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, thank you for being here with us on our 350th Wednesday night, preaching on prayer. And we thank God for you. Thank you for your amens. Thank you for your inviting others. Thank you for gathering people around devices. Thank you for your prayers, your hearts, your love. And I pray that 50 more Wednesday nights from now, we'll be here together for number 400, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. We love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.